This is the Colonial Department's Extra Credit, a bonus show that provides some nugget-sized tidbits of Philippine colonial history. It's based on the most recent episode, so if you haven't yet, check out Season 5, Episode 12, Who Can Mr. Filipino Marry? Then hop on back here for some extra credit. When I was a school kid in the early 90s, I read this book somewhere that talked about the so-called races of man: Caucasian, African, Mongolian, and Malay. Over the years, I slowly realized just how limited and artificial this division of human beings was. How could these four so-called races encompass all the skin tones and facial features that humans could possess? And what's more, how could these four terms ever rightfully express the rich stew of DNA and ancestry and origin that lie underneath our skin? My last episode was all about race and how it was weaponized against some of our countrymen who migrated to America in the early 1900s and dared to marry people outside of their ethnic group. If the episode made you mad, you definitely weren't alone. But somehow, while doing the research, it also made me laugh. Imagine the pickle the courts found themselves in because their legal definitions of races couldn't handle the arrival of Filipinos, or, for that matter, Indians or Eastern Europeans or other ethnicities that were blending into the melting pot of America during that time. It would be so pathetically funny if it weren't so infuriating at the same time. I gave one example of a case where the court had to debate about whether a Filipino was a Malay or a Mongolian. This was the 1925 California versus Yatko case, when a judge annulled a Filipino marriage because he was ruled to be part of the Mongolian race. But there is another celebrated case where the judge ruled the other way, and so let the marriage between a white woman and a Filipino man stand. This was Roldan versus Los Angeles County. Here are three tidbits about the Roldan case that I had to leave on the cutting room floor. One, Salvador Roldan was an immigrant from Ilocos Sur who fell in love with Marjorie Rogers, who hailed from England. The two decided to wed, but the LA County Clerk declined to give him a license. Their marriage was declared void. But when the matter was brought before the California Superior Court, the judge found that, because neither Rogers nor Roldan were Mongolian, there was nothing to stop them from getting married. So he ordered LA County to grant them the license. Two, the state appealed the case to the California Appellate Court. In a divided 3-3 opinion, the Court of Appeals upheld the Superior Court's decision. According to the judges, the framers of the No Marriages to Mongolians law did not intend for this same ruling to apply to Malayans. And Salvador Roldan, according to them, was a Malay, so he was free to marry Marjorie Rogers. 3. Their marriage turned out to be short-lived. Just 2 months after they got their license, California Governor James Rolfe voided all marriages of white people to non-white people. But even if their union was no longer recognized under law, Salvador and Marjorie stayed together and raised a family. Salvador lived up to 75 years old, while Marjorie reached her 100th birthday before passing away. In 2016, the state of California issued a formal apology to the Roldan family and honored Salvador and Marjorie's commitment to civil rights. And now I leave you with a quote from legal scholar Leti Vop, who connected the bans against Filipino intermarriage with the need of the dominant class to assert control over women. The history of anti-miscegenation laws targeting Filipinos in California reveals a complicated desire to protect white women from brown men. Women are thought to guard the purity and honor of communities. Nationalism entwines with race so that women are subjected to control in order to achieve the aim of a national racial purity. This is visible in the history described here. Filipino male sexual engagement with white women was considered a national threat, requiring the literal expulsion of Filipino men from the body politic, accomplished through the simultaneous granting of independence to the Philippines and the revocation of national status, which had formerly allowed Filipinos to freely travel to the United States. And that's it. Hope you learned something new today, and check back next week for a new episode of the Colonial Department.